Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see of the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night, my love I bring to you.
All right, all right.
I got to walk away from the studio. I hope he can hear me well. Thank you, Katria. Thank you, Abia. So it seems, so it seems. The Alphabet Boys and Girls at it again. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. Katriel and I, your fellow lead students in these studies, are happy to bring a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov in these studies for you. Unfortunately, tonight it'll be a little bit me putting in a little exercise, so to speak. In a moment, after my introduction and so on and so forth, I had to walk back to the studio in order to get my study material. And then again, I had to walk back to the studio again to bring Cartrell on. Cartrell is a poet, this is a, and we become adept the Most High Truth to you. Because we know they don't make it easy. And we're prepared for not easy. Now, as far as the Real Talk for Real People show is concerned, it is a show designed to give you a bird's eye study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov to show you it's about relationships, people. Having a constructive and positive relationship with Yah. And what do I mean by that? That means working within the crayon marks, the guidelines, the perimeters, and not leaning to your own understanding. Leaning to your understanding means doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, and believe foolishly that that would suffice. No, it would not. History has taught us that we must work in the codification with the contract. And there are certain guidelines, rule, and play. Even if you're in the homeland or outside the homeland, the Most High left contingencies. So you don't have to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. Everything is left in place, whether or not you're in the homeland or whether or not you're in a prison, which we are. And just like in any prison, some of us like wasting our time in prison. We don't want to study the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We must prefer to do milk crate Olympic challenges. Go and steal milk crates from behind grocery stores and set them up and fall on our behind. See, we are become delusional. We don't have the best health care nor health. And we like to try it. Just like any prison, we like milling around on the prison yard, looking for anything to do which is not constructive and a positive. Looking for anything to do that is outside the perimeters and guidelines of what the Most High Yah says for us to do. Therein lies our dilemma. There is an antidote for foolishness. If you're a fool, most often, you will remain one. But there is a remedy for that. There is an antidote for being a fool. Yes. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no Elohim. If you get rid of that, perhaps you will recover it. Oh, it's true. Also, relative to our studies, for as relationships are concerned, we must have constructive and positive relationships with one another. There are certain guidelines that set in place, whether you're at home in the homeland, whether or not you're in the prison system. See, you can't steal somebody's wife. You can't cheat on somebody. You can't lie to folk. You can't murder people, even strangers, and so on and so forth. And the list goes on. Those are applicable to your relationship with the Creator, which is contingent upon the fact your relationship with one another. Also, that is relative to your relationship with strangers. You can have a constructive relationship with a stranger of a different nation if that stranger wants to have a constructive relationship with you and respect your LOM in the process. Otherwise, you're wasting their time and they're wasting their time with you. You can't have a relationship with those kind of people. Okay? But before we get started in our studies, I'd like to make ongoing contemporary comments. Yes. Our brothers and sisters in Haiti are in dire need. The lamestream media has all but forgot about them. Their need of sanitation, food, water, and medical care. I don't suggest that you send help to these NGOs. The last time in 2010, you sent information or sent money to the NGOs. The NGOs were eating steak and taters while the people were eating pork and beans out of can, or MREs. Oh, it's true. So, say some prayers for our brothers and sisters in Haiti. As I said, the lamestream media has all but forgotten about it. But we hadn't, because this is our duty to be our brothers and sisters' keepers. Also, the Taliban has told America the deadline is the deadline. August 31st, you better have your behind out of here. You don't know what's going to come to you, okay? Well, Biden said, I'm going to get out of there the 31st. I'm going to get out anyway. Well, you ain't got no other alternative. I heard some foolhardy imperialists on the lamestream media. Well, why they can't just stay? How you going to stay in somebody's house? They don't want you in there. What's wrong with you, woman? I mean, it would be the very same thing. You come over here to America, and you taking your folks out and whatnot, and then I'm going to stay 5 more days. Stop being so imperialistic in your thinking, lady. Them folks want you out of there, you better get to getting. That's simple as that. Why you got to make everything imperialistic, universal white race supremacists? Them folks don't want you there. And they told the Afghans, Stannis, you stand. But you foreigners, get out of here. We're not going to do no brain drain. Y'all talk to the intelligent folks and leave the folks a little bit less than intelligent. Although we love them too. But we needed some intelligent folks to run this infrastructure. So y'all can't go nowhere. Okay? And let me think for a moment. Okay, that's about it. I have to run to the studio again, turn my mic on to introduce my brother and friend, fellow lead student in these studies, Katria from New York City. Katria, hold on, brother. Listen to the mic. Fellow students, you hold on. Get your books out. Second Chronicles chapter 23 is where we'll be starting in these studies. Second Chronicles chapter 23. Okay? And y'all bear with me. I'm running to the studio to turn Cottrell's mic on and get my study material, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother. I've just made it back from the studio. Thank you very much. May the Most High bless your family also, my brother and friend.
Thank you. The ABC boys got you on your toes, huh?
Man, you know they do what they do. And that's why we do what we do.
Trying to keep you in shape.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a little bit of echo, but it's not too bad.
Okay. Thank you.
But it's unfortunate that they've taken the attention off our brothers and sisters in Haiti and the dire strait they're in. There's not many casualties going on in Afghanistan. There were like 20 casualties in Tennessee, and they seem to think that's more important than the thousands of people who have been left homeless in Haiti and the thousands of people that have died. We have to keep them in our prayers and our hearts because America's relationship with Haiti is no good. That's the real. They took advantage the first time. They took advantage and took their children. But most our watch is all there. And I'm sure he hears our prayers. It definitely wasn't as bad as the last time. They lost hundreds of thousands the last time, and this quake was even worse. But insofar as Afghanistan, the United States got a problem when they deal internationally with other nations. And I guess this would be a lesson for them to respect the borders of other people, the cultures of other people, the laws of other people. But going into Afghanistan in the beginning was bogus, to start a war with a country that didn't start war with you.
That is certainly the case, country, huh?
And they're paying the price.
You better believe it.
My question is, why so many American citizens or civilians, why are there so many civilians there in Afghanistan that they're worried about? What were they doing in the first place?
Now, you said it again, Katrina?
My question is, why are there so many Americans in Afghanistan, civilians? What are they doing there in the first place?
Yeah, but I was thinking the very same thing. I mean, if you're at war in a country and you're warring within that country, you're an invader, an occupier in that country, what are all these Americans doing over there? What are they doing? I thought the very same thing, Katrina.
They're probably trying to westernize the Afghan people, infiltrate the minds of the children and the women, Western culture, and some of the men, trying to show them modernization. I don't know. They need to get out while they're getting as good.
Babylon, sometimes I call America that, is one of the greatest exporters of racism, universal white race supremacy, sexual perversions, the LGBTQ marching band, and so on and so forth. They are the greatest exporters of this perverse behavior. And so when you said that about trying to get the hearts of men of the Afghanis, people, based upon American history, I would have to concur with you on that, bro.
And then they take the idolatry in there. You know, the priests and the people, you know, with their religious ideologies go in there as well. Take that Bible up in there and take the land or the substance of the land.
Oh, yeah. You could buy the sugar for the fact that they had the Roman Catholics over there. The Roman Catholic probably hanging out with the fellows that like the Bachi Banzi boys. You know, probably hanging out with them.
Yeah, a lot of insanity in the world, y'all.
Exactly.
Most of my judges.
Well, Roger, y'all. If Katrina's done with his commentary, I get right on into it.
No doubt.
Hey, Katrina, have you taken the milk crate challenge?
Nope. Haven't done it. Never will.
You and me both. Only thing I take about a milk crate is me walking around it, okay? One milk, singular milk crate, okay? That's the milk crate, me walking around it to get to something to do something constructive with, okay?
What I'm going to do with a milk crate is put my books in it.
That's why I got mine. I think I got about two of them. I got some tools in it and whatnot and stuff like that. That's my milk crate challenge. I use it, store stuff in, just like Cartrell. That's the challenge.
How many books can you read and put them in that milk crate? Can you put a mountain full of books and milk crates that you rent?
Yeah. And they got hard bottoms. Well, your books won't fall out the bottom.
Exactly. Stack them like a library.
Yeah, and they're good for holding tools and paint and whatnot and everything. So they, like I said, they got hard bottoms. They won't let your tools and paint and stuff fall out the bottom. That's quite a challenge.
And if you break your neck, it ain't nobody's fault but your own.
Well, Katria, I told them how to stop being a fool. Because a fool says in his heart there is no L-O-M. That's the first rule to being a fool, okay? You got to stop. You got to get off that pathway. Talking about there is no Elohim. Believing in humanism. Humanism is the answer to everything, science and so on and so forth, which is humanism is not the answer to everything. And Yah, there is an Elohim. His name is Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Praise
as a matter of fact, they call it transhumanism. Is that they're going to transform into half human, half robot, cyborg, right. For what?
Why they call it transhuman? Back in the day when I was growing up, it was just humanism. Why they got trans on it now?
Ah. They want to transform you.
Oh.
In all kind of ways.
Okay. All right. I see where you're coming from.
Transhuman.
Oh, okay. They got a modern version. Like I said, when we was growing up, it was just humanism. Now, it's like Popeye with spinach. Transhumanism. Okay.
Well, I think humanism is a different concept. Transhumanism, they want to have the bodies to be able to go into space and travel to the stars.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Like the brains of computers and things of that nature.
Oh, they mind already messing with our computers, especially our youth. They're over inundated with them. It's true. All right, fellow students, Contrario, we're going to get to work. Y'all ready? Second Chronicles, 23rd chapter. If Cartrell's done with his commentary, I certainly am.
No doubt.
Thank you, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. May the Most High bless you, fellow students. May he direct and order your step. Start leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute. It does not work for you. I don't know who told you that. They lied. Okay? You have to work within the lines, the perimeters, the contract, the guidelines, the codification, the contract, the said contract, which some of us call a covenant. Which is one in the same. Let's study. May the Most High bless us by the study of his word and the application of said study. On the seventh year of Jehoiada took courage and brought the chief of the hundreds, Ozira's son, Jeroham, Ishmael, son of Jehohanan, Azariah's son, Obed, Messiah, son of Adiah, Elizabeth, son of Zechariah, into a compact with him. They went to Yehuda and assembled the Levites from all the towns of Yehuda and the prince of the clans, tribes of Israel. They came to Jerusalem, and the entire assembly made a contract with the king and the house of Yah. He said to them, the sons of the king shall be king according to the promise of Yah, the promise Yah made concerning the sons of King David. This is what you must do. One-third of you, priests and Levites, who are on duty for the week, shall be gatekeepers at the thresholds. Another third shall be stationed in the royal palace, and the other third at the foundation gate. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of Yah. Let no one enter the house of Yah except the priest and the ministering Levites. They may enter because they are sanctified, but all the people shall obey the prescription of the Elohim requirements. The Levites shall surround the king on every side, because he's supposed, the man that sits on that throne supposed to be a stock of King David, and that little boy is. So y'all surround him on every side. Every man with his weapon, but these were Shaolin priests. Every man with his weapon at the ready. Whoever comes into the house of Yahshua be killed. Stay close to the king and his coming and going. The Levites and all Yehuda did just as Jehoiada, the priest, ordered. Each took his men, a third, those who were on duty that week, and those who were off duty that week. For Jehoiada, the high priest, had not dismissed the divisions. They were on duty, what we call one division, one-third on, two-thirds off. One-third on, two-thirds off, and rotation. But they were not dismissed. They were in the ready. The Levites and Yehuda did just as Jehoiada, the high priest, ordered. Each took his men, those who were on duty that week, and those who were off duty that week. For Jehoiada, the high priest, had not dismissed the divisions. Jehoiada, the high priest, gave the princesses of the hundreds King David's spears and shields and quivers, arrows, that were kept in the house of Yah. He stationed the entire force, each man with his weapon, to be at the ready. From the south end of the house, the temple, to the north end of the house, the temple, at the altar and the house, to guard the king on every side. Then they brought out the king's son and placed him upon him the crown and the insignia. They proclaimed him king. And Jehoiada, the high priest, and his sons anointed him as was prescribed. The high priest and the kings were anointed. They anointed him and shouted, "Long live the king." See, there are requirements with Yah for a high priest that's concerned, and they are not. There are requirements with Yah for the king coming from the tribe of Yehuda. Where they are concerned, the anointing. You can't get no any Joe Blow or Joetta sitting on the throne proclaiming that he or she is king. No, there are certain requirements. The Most High has left that for us when we are at home in the land. Study on it. And then you will find out what Yah would have you to do. Then you don't lean to your own understanding. Most High has left every contingent in place if you need it. But you got to study for it. Get off the milk crate challenges. Get in the study challenge. When Atiya, now this the woman sitting on the throne that shouldn't have been there in the first place. This the murderess heard the shouting of the people and the guards and the acclamation of the king. She came out to the people, to the house of the Elohim. She looked about and saw the king standing by his pillar like the king's supposed to when he's in the house of the Elohim. He's supposed to stand by a certain pillar. At the entrance, the princes with their trumpets beside the king, all the people of the land rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and singers with musical instruments leading the hymns of praise to Yah. Atiya tore her garments and cried out, "Treason! Treason!" She was scared as hell. And if anybody's supposed to be saying treason, it should have been the young king. She had no business on that throne in the first place. Now she has the audacity to call it treason. Then the priest, the high priest Jehoiada, ordered out the army officers, prince of the hundreds, and said to them, "Take her out between the ranks. Take her out of here. If anyone follows her, put him to the sword." For the priest thought, "Let her not be put to death in the house of Yah. Get her out of here. They killed a patches for her. And she came to the entrance going out of the horse gate to the reward palace. And there she was put to death outside of the temple. When Jehoiada, the high priest, summoned a contract between himself and the people and the king, that they should be the people of Yah. You got certain requirements. Y'all got to be the people of Yah. Y'all can't do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. You got to follow the contract within the guidelines, the perimeters, so you can have a constructive relationship with them. All the people then went to the temple of Baal. They tore it down as one of the requirements, smashed his altars and images to bits. They slew Matthan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. The priest Jehoiada put the officers of the house of the Elohim in charge of the Levite priest, whom King Daud had signed over the house of Yah, to offer a burnt offerings as prescribed in the teachings of Mosaic instructions, accompanied by joyful sounds as ordained by King Daud. He stationed the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Elohim to prevent the entry of anyone unclean for any reason. If you were unclean for any reason, you couldn't come up in there. They took precautions. So like what we call those guys at the clubs, bouncers. You didn't have the right credentials. You wouldn't go come up in there any old messy old tacky old way. Okay. He took the chiefs, the princes of the hundreds, the nobles, and the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land. That means anybody in the land. That means strangers too, different nations. And they escorted the king down from the house of the Elohim into the royal palace by the upper gate and seated the king on the royal throne, as was promised for the lineage of King Daud. All the people of the land rejoiced. They had a constructive relationship with their king. Thus they had a constructive relationship with Yah. Thus they had a constructive relationship with one another. And the city was quiet as a result. As for Hatiliah, the woman, the murderess, she had been put to death. And you know, yesterday I said this. What did I tell you yesterday, fellow students? Don't think you're going to ever get away from Yah. Okay? Now, it may seem or appear that you got in her way. But as in the case first, she had no business sitting on that throne. She was not from the lineage of King Daud. She had no business sitting on that throne. And it was ensured. And the people understood that. And she, it cost her her life. And some of you out there playing with Yah. If you have no, as far as this relationship is concerned, as far as the relationship is concerned, if you have no authority to be saying or doing or acting upon, it may be seeming that you are gotten away and you're prospering, but at the end of the day, Yah is no joke, my people. And you must maintain a constructive and positive relationship with him in order to enhance your relationship with him and to solidify that you don't end up killed as a result of your nonsense. Okay? And also, that relationship applies to one another, applies to our king, and applies, so it seems, to different nations that want to be a part of you. Everybody don't want to be a part of you. And the way things are, in our communities, I can understand that. Because nobody is beating a pathway to our doors, because universally we are a hot mess. We're too busy doing a milk crate challenge than to do what Yah says. And that's a problem. And if you're going to suffer the consequences, I'm here to tell you, I'm putting this on out there in the ethos. People playing with Yah, you're going to suffer the consequences. And people ain't busy by Yah's business. you're going to suffer the consequences. And it may appear that you got in the way. You ain't got nowhere. You just like vapor. You here today, and you gone tomorrow. Just like King Darwin said in those beautiful songs, all of us. So ensure that you have a constructive relationship with y'all. Ensure that you're following within the framework, the guidelines, the perimeters. Ensure that you follow the codification in the contract. Whether that contract applies to in the land when you're in the land and out of the land when you're in these prisons, which we're in today. Cottrell, my dear brother and friend, what say you?
We see that Queen Athalia suffered the fate, the same fate as her mother, Queen Jezebel. She tried to take over the kingdom.
Exactly.
And the Most High had the loyal troops of King David to slay this woman. We see that every generation has to make that contract with Yah, and this generation was no different. They went out and reaffirmed their oath to the Most High because they knew that the Most High swore and made a covenant and an oath with the house of King David that his seed would be king. And the fact that they found out that one of the sons of King David was still alive, immediately, they didn't hesitate. They hatched a plan. Like you said, he went to all the Levites, the priests. And like you said, they was like Shaolin monks. Nobody
mm-hmm.
was messing with them guys.
No, they weren't, gotcha.
They had the attention of everybody in the nation because they
exactly.
made the whole nation swear to this oath, which is what a nation should do. If our allegiance as a nation is to Yah, everybody has to be there to make that oath, right? And those who are not, they going to be eliminated.
Ain't nobody special, Cottrell. Yom Suf
right.
ain't special. Cottrell ain't special. You know, Ima Hador ain't special. I love her. Ima, you know I love you. Sister Huda, I love you. And Sister Huda's online, Cottrell. If you make your commentary, I got to run back to the studio and bring her home. I love her, Sister Huda. But she ain't nothing special. Everybody got to work within the company. And that's where humility comes into play, Cottrell. That's, and, you know, and a lot of people, they think Moses was that Hollywood version. Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he told the people. I mean, come on, man. Moses, he stuttered because we studied this, and Moses was a humble fellow. Y'all only riled him up when y'all made him mad with all that nonsense y'all was doing, okay? He was one of the most humblest men in the world. So you got him all upset, pushing on him, bickering and arguing and fussing and fighting and carrying on. You know. Go ahead, Cottrell.
In this chapter, it shows us a lot of order about our nation in regards to how we worshiped on the Shabbat. We had to go to the temple. And if people weren't allowed inside the temple, they were outside in the courts. The only ones who were inside the temple were the priests because they were holy. As a matter of fact, they have swords to stop you from going in because you would get killed if you went in there, you was unclean. It says, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you shall enter on the Shabbat of the priests and of the Levites shall be the porters of the doors. A third shall be at the king's house, at the king's palace, because you have to have guards there and people to protect the king. And a third part at the gate of the foundation. And all the people shall be in the courts of the house of Yah. Not in Yah's house, but in the courts of Yah's house. Let no one come into the house of Yah save the priests and they that minister of the Levites. So there were Israelites who worked with the Levites, and they were servants of the Levites, maybe from other nations, who served the Levites. And they were allowed in the temple because that was their duty. They shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep watch of Yah, which means on the Shabbat, the people went to the temple to observe what the priests were doing and to observe Yah, his Ruach, in the temple. So the Levites' responsibility was to compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand, and whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. They was not playing. Matter of fact, they had the weapons of King David. What kind of vibration was on those weapons?
Well, Sister Yehuda, we do apologize. That was lovely. informative, Katya, what you just said. But I'm doing so much running, I can't halfway listen.
Right.
So I'm not. Sister Huda, the Alphabet Boys have undermined the show, meaning that I had to patch in through my phone, just like some of you are calling in for the study session. So I had to even patch into. I can't even hear my own show. I can't do nothing with the knobs or whatnot. So that means, Sister Yehuda, I'm going to get ready to bring you on. I got to walk back to the studio, bring you on. You're going to hear that click in your phone. And Cottrell, he's used to this. You've been away for a moment. You'll get used to it. And when you hear me click, Cottrell will then introduce you or whatnot. He probably hear it. If you ain't saying nothing, he going to say, Sister Yehuda, come on. Come on, rap. Okay. Sister Yehuda from Michigan, may the Most High bless you. Y'all bear with me, fellow students. I got to walk to the studio and bring her on.
But in the meantime, in between time, we see the order of the nation. It says they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony. Meantime, he's only like 6, 7 years old. He might be 8 or 9. And made him king. And Yehoiada and his sons anointed him. That's the key part, because all the kings of Judah had to be anointed with this special anointing oil that the priest had, and said, Elohim saved the king. Where have you heard that before? I know when I watch a lot of English pictures, they always say God saved the king or God saved the queen, but we see where they stole it from. So with all this commotion, them crowning the king, the people rejoice because the Most High is true to his covenant in the fact that he preserved one of the sons of King David. And it was his grandmother who was trying to kill him, Queen Athaliah, treacherous woman.
Well, I got you, fellow students. Thank you. I think that's Sister Huda, maybe Imah Dora, whose number I just opened up. Your mic is hot. Come on in.
Shalom, shalom. What's good, family?
Shalom, shalom, family.
Imah Dora.
Yes, yeah, Imah Dora. May the Most High bless you, love.
May the Most High bless you and my dear heart, Moray Katiel. You, my baby. Moray Katiel is my heart. Oh, praise to the Most High. Isn't he worthy to be praised? Hallelujah.
Every day, every hour, every breath.
Every breath, every that we take, every essence of our total being is here for his praise, because without him, we wouldn't be here, would we?
And he said we're fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I didn't catch what chapter or what book you all were in, so I'm just listening. And
the 23rd chapter of the Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, 23rd chapter.
Oh, my word.
Queen Athaliah. You know about her?
She was kind of rough, wasn't she?
She was like a mama.
Yeah, she was a murderess. She was a mob.
Gangster.
But they
straight up.
That lets you know the sisters in Israel, they wasn't nothing to play with either.
Oh, no.
No, they still ain't nothing to play with. They just think it's just broken.
Not at all.
It was a sister that saved the day, Jehoshaphat. If it wasn't for the sister Jehoshaphat to save the king's son, we wouldn't have no more of the line of King David. She saved his last, the remnant of his son. Because Queen Athaliah had killed all the rest of them.
Yes.
And she's their grandmother, or related somehow to them.
Isn't she the one that had... has the priest, if I'm trying to see if I got, I might have her mixed up with somebody else.
You think about King Yehoram, who slapped the prophet and put him in jail, or was King Ahab who did that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were terrible. Our people were terrible back in ancient time, especially Israel. Judah, they slipped every now and then they slipped again. So they got kicked out. Most often, yeah, they're worse than Israel. You saw what happened to Israel. But our history tells a story, and it reflects us. It really does.
You know, not Second Chronicles, the 23rd chapter, should make it emphatically clear. On the Shabbat, we didn't go and sit down and let nobody preach to us either, no building.
Oh, no. It was an auditory.
So where do we get that from?
Church. Practicing church on Saturday anymore. Because it ain't nothing like what we're reading here, is it?
No. And, you know, when if we really go through the through the word of God, you'll see he's Yah, he changed not. Yah never dealt with Israel under no building. He always dealt with them outside under the heavens.
Think about that.
That's why the heavens and the earth were able to be called as a witness against us. And they're just standing waiting patiently to be called as a witness for us this time around. You know, that's some pretty heavy stuff to have the heavens and the earth to be called as a witness. And pretty heavy, too, weren't they, Moray?
Who was pretty heavy?
The priest of Israel.
Oh, yeah. The priest in this chapter is the star of the story. The high priest,
mm-hmm.
Yehoiadah, because they're obligated by oath to Yah to make sure that the kingdom stays straight. And they were the ones that
mm-hmm.
took the high priest Yehoiadah and his sons. They took the initiative to take power away from Queen Athaliah and the course that she was setting the nation on with the Baal worship. So they had to check that, correct that, and put things back in order. And the fact that this chapter shows you, you couldn't cross lines, son. Could not cross lines. These Levites knew they were Levites. These priests knew they were from the sons of Aaron. And they had the weapons of King David. Oh, you wasn't just doing what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it, how you wanted to do it. Not at that time. These dudes would kill you. I want to go in the temple. I want to see the glory of Yah. Yah talked to me and told me to come in. Nah, you're not, you know, you're unclean, you're not holy, you're not sanctified. Only the priest and the Levite are able to go in to the temple building. Anybody else? You in the court.
Moray, are you sure about that?
I'm positive. I'm going to read it again.
Then how is it, if that's the case, then how is it that?
Listen to this. The high priest Yehoiada is instructing them. This is the thing you shall do. A third part of you shall enter in on the Shabbat of the priests and of the Levites shall be porters of the doors. The doors of what? The temple. And a third part should be at the king's house, which is the palace. So somebody had to protect the king. Somebody had to protect the temple. So they split up into different regiments to do these jobs. It says a third part at the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of Yah. Not the house of Yah, but in the courts of the house of Yah. It says, let none come into the house of Yah, save who? The priests and they that minister of the Levite servants, whether you be a Nazarite or whether you be some captive that you're serving the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of Yah This is on the Shabbat. And the Levites shall pass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand. And whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But you, be with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. The king could go into the Most High's house, but nobody else can. And if you come close to the king, they're killing you. That's on the Shabbat. How about that?
So I'm trying to follow you, because then that will make the new book a lawyer. Because they said that the character of the new book went and taught in the temple.
Well, he might have, because the temple might have been violated. There was all kind of stuff going on in the temple. It wasn't up to this kind of order, right? The temple always wasn't under this discipline, Ema. As a matter of fact, the Most High took Elijah the prophet, or one of the prophets, by his locks and showed him what was going on at the temple. People was worshiping the Baal and sacrificing in the East Gate and doing all kinds of abominations at the temple, in the temple, which is why the temple was
destroyed.
But
if the temple was on its square and was operating as it should, that couldn't have happened, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But you can see it was a constant battle of Israel leaning towards idol worship and understanding that the Most High was watching them and afflicting them every time they did it.
Hallelujah. All praise.
All praise. So here we see Yehoiada reaffirming in his generation, we are under covenant with the Most High, right? So he made all the people, all the priests, reaffirm this covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It says, Yehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said to them, oh, no, that's not the part. Yehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people, and between the king, that they should be Yah's people. You got to go back and return to Yah, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the oath that everybody took. So every generation got
to
do that.
So according to this chapter, the priest also guarded the king.
Yes. But he also had captains in action, right? It's not just the Levites.
Mm-hmm.
But the Levites basically were in charge.
Okay.
Especially when there's no king. This king was like 7 years, 8 years old. So there had to be authorities for him until he was able and capable when he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to teach him, instruct him, train him in all that he needed to know as far as the works of his father, King David. And they were committed to that. Even though he's 8, 9 years old, he's the king. Not you, Queen Asalia. We got to take you out. So Yah's word is serious. Well, how little boy going to be king? Oh, if he's next in line, he's going to be king. And guess what? What he says goes. Yeah, we don't understand that one.
And this is of David's house, right?
King David's house, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the next in line to inherit the throne. His aunt saved him because his grandmother was killing all his brothers and sisters. So she could take power, which she did for 6 years. She reigned in Israel for 6 years over Judah. Not Israel, but Judah. A lot of Israelites don't know about her.
Well, this, I tell you, like I said, we don't, you know, the teachers today, you don't hear about the queens that ruled over, ruled in Israel. You don't ever hear it. And they had good queens, they had bad queens. The most notorious one was Jezebel.
Yes, Queen Jezebel is a hot mess.
And seems like this one ain't much, she ain't too far behind her.
She come out the same old. That's her mother, I believe.
Oh, you know what? I never put that together.
Yeah.
Jezebel was her mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. She's kin to her. Because she was from the house of King Ahab.
King Ahab's daughter.
Right.
She married the king of Judah.
Hmm.
King Ahab's daughter married the king of Judah. And who
right.
was his wife? Jezebel. Queen Jezebel.
Exactly.
Right?
Like mama, like daughter.
Wow. Now this is beginning to make sense. I never made that connection. I guess I didn't read it closely enough. Thank you for that.
Man, hey, Ima Hadar, the real talk for real
mm-hmm.
people show is for everybody.
Yeah, it's an open book test for all of us, so we're doing group study.
Hey,
that's the best way to... That's what's the best way to pass
and
the test.
And I meant to correct you, too, young suit. I am special. I want you to know that.
Yes, ma'am. I ain't looking for no trouble.
Israel is the apple of the Most High's eye. We special to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells us to humble ourselves.
I ain't looking for no trouble, Eva. I ain't looking for no trouble.
What happens to Sister Judith?
She may be coming on, you know, by Friday or something like that, Kajal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Yehudi?
Yeah. I thought she was on.
No, I thought it was, but it was Eva
Adora's
number.
Oh, okay. So you were saying that you're having problems with getting on your show?
Yes, ma'am. They've undermined it, so I had to patch in through my phone. So I had to take my phone away from the studio, because if the closer I am with my phone passed in, it has feedback, so I got to get as far away from the studio. So whenever I close out or I bring somebody in or whatnot, I have to be at a distance. In order to do that, if I'm by the studio and I got this phone by the studio plugged in, you'll hear feedback on it.
It's funny how the music is able to play, but we can't hear you when you start talking.
Exactly. But we're used to Ima Adora, Cartier, I, and the fellow students, Abia, we've gotten so used to it. When they call me, I know it's them texting me. I throw a song on to patch in, and then I come right back on. We didn't got used to it.
Well, you know, they know that the Almighty's hand is here, and they know that it's not going to get better. It's going to get consistently worse. The enemy or the adversarial spirit know that its time is up. And he's not going to go down without a fight. And anything that he can do to stop that truth from coming forth, we know that that's going to be his main issue, his main goal to try to stop it, but he can't. And we, as just as he's persistent, we have to remain equally as persistent, if not more so, with the word of our God.
It's going to have another effect as well, Ima. Going to force our people, going to press our backs against the wall. We're going to be under so much pressure. And that's already starting. People worried about their children going back
yes.
to school. People worried about getting this vaccine, going back to work. And we had a young lady call yesterday. she was concerned about taking a vaccination in her line of work as a airline
steward. And she was fearful. But she was fearful. And she's a sister. But it sort of amazed me. If you're doing a study like we are so entrenched in our studies, that we're not scared. You know, whatever comes. I mean, we're not scared. I mean, we're entrenched in these studies. We know what Yah does, what he can't do, what he will do, and he's in charge of everything. The final analysis in our studies, we realize, Imahadora, that the Most High is in charge of everything, the weather, and so on and so forth. And if he wants you, he wants you. If he don't, he don't. So we ain't got time to be worried about COVID-19, the alphabet boys and girls who like to undermine us on this radio talk show. We just play our part. That's the only thing we do. We play our part.
Well, you know, the thing of it, and you're absolutely right. But, you know, it's what's sad is that the Almighty gives precise instructions. Even a fourth grader can understand it. And gave us a warning. Gather yourselves together, O nation not desired, before my day of wrath come upon you, so that you may be hidden. Isaiah, step inside your chambers until my indignation passes over. Leviticus, Torah, just come and tell me you're sorry. I got everything else on lockdown. Until you tell me you're sorry, hey, everything else is covered. But, you know, but we don't listen, but we forgot Israel's going to get caught up in Yah's wrath, just like these other folks, if they don't come around and obey him too, you see. And we can see that happening right in front of our faces. Haiti, down there, you know, some of our people got caught up in there. When these tornadoes and these storms are coming through, our people getting caught up in that as well. This virus, our people are dying from it. You see, the Almighty says that with a stressed out arm and fury poured out, he will rule over us. So, you know, we got to know that this God is nothing to play with. And but we've been told that he's a loving God, all he loves everybody and all that Hollywood stuff. But we've got to face the reality of what's really in front of us. And Israel has got to get their heads right. They got to humble themselves and go before their God and accept their punishment and let him know that, hey, we know that we're in this condition because our fathers did not obey our God. Until we humble ourselves, take on that spirit of humility, think about it. We have tried everything under the sun, thinking that that would help alleviate the oppression that our people are under. We've done it all. Whatever anybody asks of us to do, we've done it. Whatever we thought we was big enough to do that and wanted to make a change, we've done it. We've done everything but what our God told us to do. And as, at the end of the day, as it is written, there's no one that can deliver us out of his hands. He's got the last say. And now with this pipe, how do you pronounce that, Moray? Pipe, this glass vaccine, Pfizer, I don't know how you pronounce it.
Pfizer.
Pfizer, yes. They're saying now that they have passed it and are given a full go-ahead. Now the government has the authority to shut down anything and everybody that won't take this vaccine. So, and over, from my understanding, over in the islands, they're on curfew. They can't move. They can't go to work. They can't do nothing. 3 days out of a week where they can move around. This is just the beginning. The plagues are here. Let us not deceive ourselves. These plagues are here, and it's not going to get better.
So my counsel to the young sister was, we have to learn how to trust Yah, the one command that the Most High has given us that we don't pay attention to as well as the other commands that he's given us. He said, fear not, I am with you.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 41:1 says, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help you, says Yah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. If you don't trust that, then you're in trouble. Isaiah 41:14.
You're in trouble. All through the word of God, he's saying, be fear not, be strong and of good courage, and know that I, Yah, your Elohim, is with you. Is that right?
Exactly.
Now, listen to that carefully. Know that I am with you. And on the other hand, what does the word say? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. But the Almighty says, be strong and good courage and fear not and know. Have knowledge that he's with him, with us. But see, we don't know that. We don't trust Yah. What we do, we kind of play him down, you know, we put him on a back burner, and if we need him to get us through something, we bring him for, I love you all that. And then as soon as things kind of calm down, we put him back on the back burner again. Now we want to do things our way until we need him, but you can't play Yah like that. You know, and if nothing else, we have to come to know that Yah said, knowledge, no, not believe. Everything about the new book tells us we have to believe it, but the Almighty's word is about obedience and knowledge and understanding. So you're absolutely right, Maureen. You told her absolutely right. We don't trust Yah because we don't know him. And that's why what you and Yonsu are doing is so important, to go through this word, word for word, so our people can get to know our God.
And the thing is,
you know what?
Whether we know it or not, the Most High is with us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he's with us, but he's with us. And he's seeing both
he's
the good and the bad
home.
That we do. He said, I have written you on the palm of my hand. Huh?
He's been there all along.
He said, I've written you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me. So Yah is omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. He's everywhere. All-knowing, all-seeing, almighty, and all-present. So there's no place you can go where Yah is not there. Sue said earlier, a fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Oh, you got a lot of lows today. You got
you said
quite
what?
A few of those. You got a lot of those today.
Yeah.
Yep, Imar, duh. A lot of them. See, I had to listen at the studio, then I had to come back to my phone. So that's why it's sort of like delayed. Otherwise, I'd have jumped right into the conversation. But I had to go into the studio to listen to Imar Dora and Cottrell do their studies and commentaries, and I got to run back to my phone in order to speak it to the phone. But be that as it may, that was good, Imar Dora, and certainly Cottrell, that was good. Imar Dora, Cottrell, we're going to move along in our studies there if we can to Cottrell sharing with us a beautiful song of King Dawood. And in that song, in all of his song, it tells you about his relationship with Yah, the kind of relationship you should subscribe to have with him and are with one another and with strangers sometime in that case. Cottrell?
Yes, sir. We love King David because he laid out the pathway to communicating and having a relationship with the Most High, not just for the children of Israel, but for all people on the earth. All Yah's creation. And in his songs that he sings, that we call psalms, that we read, you could see how powerful his thoughts were. So we give thanks and praise once again to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Yaakov, and to our King, King David, who was so wise and wise enough to leave us breadcrumbs to follow, to get wisdom, to get knowledge, to get understanding, and to have a vision. He says, his son says, King Solomon, people without a vision perish. So King David is painting the picture that we should see. And what does he say in chapter 66 of the book of Psalms? It doesn't give an author of this psalm, but nine times out of ten is King David. Shout praise to Elohim, all the earth, not just Israel, all nations. Sing praises about the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. They've substituted his name with other gods, when we know that. Nobody's singing out songs to Yah until recently. Heard some recent songs. They give praise and glory and honor to the Most High. Say to Elohim, how awesome are your works? Isn't Yah's works awesome? Who can say they're not? Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you. Pity the fool that makes himself an enemy of the Creator. The whole earth worships you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see the awesome works of Elohim on behalf of human beings. He turned the sea into dry land. Yisrael crossed the river on foot. Let us rejoice in him, because he's the only one that can do that. Yeah, they talk about your man walking on water, but can he separate the waters and turn it into dry land? Who does that? Only Yah. Let's rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. How long is his rule?
Forever.
That's a long time, right? His eyes.
I think it is.
Watching over the nations. We just spoke about that. Omniscient. He knows all. He sees all. He's everywhere. He's watching all the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Yah's watching you. And there's nations that's exalting themselves and rebellious. But we see that might is in the power of Yah. You could talk about the Taliban all you want, but the Taliban got the world record. What's the one nation on earth that has defeated three superpowers, right, Yamsu? Three superpowers. Afghanistan, it starts with an A. Afghanistan has defeated three superpowers, world powers, being a humble nation. Now, every nation got unrighteousness, and you could point your fingers if you want, but I see spiritual powers in the fact that a nation can beat a superpower, put them in check for 20 years, and they veterans at this. Ain't nothing new to them. They tell the United States, go home quick on a date you set. We should have that kind of power. But that's Ishmael. He fears no one, and he trusts in the Most High. Bless our Elohim, people. What King David say? Bless our Elohim. You have to bless Yah. That's how you receive blessing. How do you bless Yah? With your words, with your commitment, with your living up to your oath that you should be making to him. That's how you bless Yah. Bless our Elohim, our people. That's what we saw with Yehoiada, the priest, when he made the young king, king of Israel in his time. That's what he did. He blessed Yah, and he made the people bless Yah. And let the sound of his praise be heard. That's what they did. He gives us life and does not permit our feet to slip. For you, Elohim, tested us. Oh, Yah's going to test you. Oh, yeah. Did he test Job? Woo-wee. Boy, did he test Job. We look at Job, and we should be seeing ourselves, because he's testing us in the same manner. We may not realize it, but we're being tested in the same way. To purify us like fine silver. What is the test for? To purify us like fine silver. How do you pass the test? You have to study the open book. The book is open. Study it.
Oh, Cartrell, you know we ain't got time for that.
Come on, man.
We got time for the milk crate challenge. Find some milk crate behind the grocery store and climb up and break your neck. We ain't got time to study what y'all says. Okay?
So you know how to purify silver, right?
Right.
How do you purify silver?
You go through the process, the firing process, over and over again.
You go through what?
The firing. Oh. You put it through the fire. A firing.
If you're not ready for that fire that's coming to purify you because you didn't pass the test, right? You're in trouble.
Big trouble.
You have led us into a trap and set burdens on our backs. It's a test. What you going to do in this trap that I put you in?
We in it now. They putting us in it now.
And we don't know what to do, do we? Because we're not studying how to pass the test.
Adora know what to do. Cartier know what to do. Abby, y'all know what to do. The fellow students that's studying with us universally, they know what to do.
So it continues. You caused men to ride over us. It's part of the test. You brought us through fire and water, but you led us to abundance. Through the fire, through the wind, and through the water. Right? Stephanie Mills. Y'all brought us through the fire.
You are not one of ASAP singers, okay? Thank you.
I know.
Oh, he sound all right to me, them alone.
I ain't looking for no trouble. Go ahead, Cartrell. Same, brother, same.
Through the fire. Where we heard that before? Stephanie Mills. Through the water. Mm-hmm. Ain't no mountain high enough. But we have to go through the fire. And it's a test. If you haven't been studying, you're not going to pass. Y'all's going to bring us through the fire. He leads us in traps. He puts burdens on our backs. He causes men to ride over us. He takes us through the fire. Y'all getting it yet? Y'all getting it? In order to do what? To lead us to abundance if you pass the test.
Because
we're supposed to be like that silver that comes through the fire. Right? You could be molded then into refined objects that are priceless, right?
Yeah.
I will come to your house with burnt offerings, right? We just read about the house of Yah. How many people could go into Yah's house?
Ain't nobody been going because Yah's house tore up.
Okay. When Yah's house is there, who's going into Yah's house?
I'm going to go.
Yeah,
I'm going. If you let me go.
But you're going to be outside. You're going to be in a gate. You're not going in with the Levites and the priests and all the holy people.
No, if I can make it into one of them outer courts, I can't even go to the outer court. I guess I'd be on the outside looking in.
Yes, so bring your offering to the outer courts and the Levites will take them in.
Exactly.
That my lips utter and that my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. It says, I will come to your house with burnt offerings. I will fulfill my vows to you. Every generation got to make these vows. Just like Yehoiada's generation and the king they made king, they made that vow. We reestablishing this vow. We didn't say it out of mouth. We're going to say it out of mouth as a nation, as a people, as one. And that's what they did. And you could do it individually too. I will come to your house with burnt offerings. I will fulfill my vows to you. And every Israelite should have a vow to Yah that my lips utter and that my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. So you make these vows in trouble, and make these vows to Yah to serve him. When you're in trouble and you call on Yah, what happens? He delivers you.
Say that again.
what happens when you fulfill your vows to Yah and then you find yourself in trouble and you call upon him? What does he do?
He hears and he acts.
Right. Exactly. So it's a give and take situation. Yah wants something from us and he'll give something back in return. And what he gives back in return is deliverance in our times of trouble, no matter how big or small. All right, so I'm going to read again. I will come to your house with burnt offerings. I will fulfill my vows to you that my lips uttereth and that my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. So when you're in trouble, you make a vow. I swear that I'm going to give my life to you because you delivered me out of trouble. And you have to fulfill that. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fat along with the smoke or the sacrifice of rams. I will offer bulls along with goats. So these are the things that we did for Yah, because that's what he wanted. Come and listen, all of you who fear Yah, and I will tell you what he did for me. I called aloud to him and praised him with my tongue. Were I to cherish iniquity in my heart, Yah would not listen to me. Did y'all catch that? You can't cry out to Yah if you have iniquity in your heart and expect Yah to help you just to deliver you so you could do more iniquity.
And idols either. You can't have idols in your heart either.
Exactly. So King David, we know every time he got in trouble, what he do? He said, I cried aloud to Yah, and I praised him with my tongue. All the songs that we're writing or reading about, this is the praise that King David has given with his tongue. He put it on paper. Then he lets us know, if I were to cherish iniquity in my heart, Yah wouldn't have listened to me, but the fact that his heart was pure and he cleansed himself of his iniquity, Yah heard him. He said, surely Elohim has heard, and he paid attention to my prayers because he didn't have iniquity in his heart. Blessed be Elohim, who did not turn away my prayers, nor his gracious love for me. So it's true love. If you're sincere in serving Yah, and you ain't just holding back for Yah to deliver you out of your iniquity so you could go right back and do the same iniquities all over again so Yah could deliver you, because he's testing you, right? Like fine silver, leading us into traps, putting burdens on our backs, causing men to ride over us, bring us through the fire and the water. But if you pass the test, he's leading you to abundance, and the abundance is his gracious love. That's what we want, his mercy, his love, and all that comes with it. So many keys that we are given in these lessons, which is why we immerse ourselves in these studies so we can learn better how to reconnect with our Creator, because we've been detached for a long time.
Steve Alhadora, what is your commentary?
And you know, as long as we've been detached, Almighty's request has not changed. He just wants us to love him. Love him, and if we love him, we'll have no problem obeying him.
Exactly.
And David knew. He knew how to get to Yah's heart. Because he knew to obey him. It was like Yah putting your hand. That's all the Almighty wants from us. And you know something? When you really think about it and really get into his word, the more you get into that word, the sweeter it becomes. Because then you begin to get to know him. And the more you begin to know him, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you want to walk in his statutes, his judgments, and his ordinance. Because guess what? You become the living, walking testimony of the words of a living God. It's not complicated. It really isn't. You know, we love, when we really love our God, just think the whole world will be at peace. Why? Because the Almighty is going to make it be at peace because of his son. When he took Israel from Egypt the first time and he put him in the land, he gave him rest when he gave him his land of inheritance, didn't he? And just think, if the whole earth is going to be Israel's inheritance, guess what? The whole earth is going to be at rest. Then do our part. That's why every word, when you really get to know the Almighty, it begins with, and you just said it, touched on it a minute ago, Moray, the Almighty begins with, if you, then I will. And what Israel failed to understand, they want to hold Yah's feet to the fire when it was not Yah who broke the covenant. Yah has never left us. We're the ones that left Yah. We're the ones that broke our covenant with him. But even in doing so, he said he would always be as a small sanctuary in the midst of us, wherever we were. Done that, otherwise we wouldn't be here today. With all that our people have endured, we would have been wiped out years ago, like all the other nations that have disappeared and never to resurface again. So everything about us let us know that we are God's chosen. We are his covenant people. And guess what? More so, we are the Mashiach that's in the earth. We're the son that went in the grave for 3 days and three nights. So Israel, you can stop looking for a Messiah because you are the Messiah.
We don't know what that word means.
And no, it just means anointed.
Yeah, so we read how our kings were anointed and our priests were anointed.
Our kings were anointed with oil being poured on their heads.
Yes, the king and the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Only the king
and
the priest.
Something else? You know something else, Moray? And also to clear up this misnomer about baptism. Israel, you don't have to be baptized, and you didn't need nobody to die for the blood. You were still in a blood covenant. When Yah brought you up out of Egypt, you were sealed with blood into a blood covenant. Is that right, Moray?
Well, these are the doctrines of men, and we just read the antidote for us. It shout praise to Elohim, all the earth, sing praises about the glory of his name. And Yamsuf, I'm going to try to sing as long as I got a vocal cord, bro. So King David says sing, I'm going to try to sing, even if, you know, don't hit anybody's ears right. Make his praise glorious. That's what people are supposed to be doing. Say to Elohim, supposed to have a conversation with God, supposed to be talking to him, communicating with him. How awesome are your works, which means you're supposed to be meditating on what the Most High is doing. How could you say how great are your works if you ain't watching what Yah is doing? Don't make no sense. You're lying then. How great are your works? What works am I doing? I don't know. Okay. What works is Yah doing? And how awesome are they? Do you see Yah's works? If you're reading this book, you seeing Yah's work being played out. Facts. And his works are awesome. He has the nations in derision. People are in an uproar. His people are under oppression, scattered worldwide. Everything he said is true.
And
what's the answer, though? He said the whole earth is going to be worshiping Yah and singing praises to the Most High. Sing praise to your name. So singing, I'm going to stop criticizing you, Yamsuf, because you got to try, too. Thank
you. Oh, you already know. You already know. You can't stop, okay? Yeah, bro, you can praise and sing Yah as much as you want. You know, I'm like one of my American brothers of yours that love you. Just pick at you, that's all.
Just give it your best effort, that's all.
Yep.
Yes, because he can sing for me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He can sing for me. I just be meddling with it. I like singing it.
Okay. Sing, Moray.
Hey, Ema, I wouldn't be a successful. Do you know what brothers do, Ema? Brothers love each other, but they like to pick at each other. That's what they do. That's all. Hey, but don't get it twisted. You better not mess with him. You better not mess with him. a whole different flavor. All right. Look, Ima Adora, thank you, love. Katria, thank you, dear brother and friend. Fellow students, thank you. Ima Adora, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I just want to say, Israel, know that this time it's going to get worse. And as Maureen just read so eloquently, you've got to step out. You've got to trust Yah, and we've got to come forth with praise on our lips every day. And in spite of it, we need to be crying out to our God. We're praising him in the midst of this storm. So just go to your word, Israel. Go and seek the face of Yah, because he is our only salvation, our only salvation. As he said, there's none that can deliver us out of his hands. And with a stretched out arm and fury poured out, he will rule over us. So I'm saying to you, trust Yah. Know your God. Turn and let us cry out to Yah and seek his mercy and his protection during this time of Yaakov's trouble. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Godfrey, dear brother and friend, any closing remarks?
Yes. Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. I pray to Yah that we can reach the level that the high priest Jehoiada and the captains and the chiefs and the leaders of Israel at that time achieved in unity and love and commitment to Yah. I pray that we can reach that level of commitment and love of one another, love of Yah, in my lifetime, where I could see my people committing themselves to Yah, making their vows to Yah, and Yah working in our behalf, because time is, in fact, running out. Not much time for this study right here, because Yah, like you say, he's going to put us in traps. He's going to put burns on us. He's going to have people running over us. He's going to put us through the fire, but through it, we don't get the abundance if we pass the test. So we try to pass the test by immersing ourselves in the word of Yah to get to know him better. The more you study his word, the more you know him better. You know his modus operandi, because Yah has a modus operandi, and we're seeing it. Those that love him, he protects and he blesses. Those who turn against him, dread on them. So I'm not trying to turn against Yah, and in Yah I trust.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, Ima Adora, Kaitrell, fellow students, it's been a pleasure studying along with y'all to learn the importance of relationships with our Creator, how those relationships define us, develop us, make us, and or break us. And we don't work within the codification and the contract, and we're walking outside of that codification and contract. That relationship would not work for you. That relationship will work on you. We love you. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It does not work for you. It is not cute. Okay? It is something serious. Let the Most High give you humility. Ask for humility like Moses. Ask for a heart and spirit like King David, who was a man after the Most High's own heart. That spirit was steadfast in the Most High. And love the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, his heart, and his brothers and sisters, which is vital in that relationship. You got to love each other. If you don't love each other, you don't love Yah. Stop playing about it. Oh, it's true. The Most High said it. King David expressed it. Expressed it in his relationship with King Saul. He wouldn't even lift a hand against King Saul, the Most High anointed. He expressed it in his love and relationship with Jonathan, and so on and so forth. In many occasions, when he was running out of the city of Jerusalem and a man was denigrating him, talking bad about him, and his soldiers wanted to smack him down, he said, no, leave it alone. They caught up with him later. But King David knew the importance of relationships with one another. You got to have a relationship with this nation. You got to love this nation just like the Most High loved this nation. Each and every one whom loved the Most High, you got to love them. We love you. May the Most High bless you, and I got to walk to the studio, y'all. Katria, give us a song while I'm walking to the studio to close out. What is that song you were singing? Through the fire. go
through
ahead, brother.
The
go
through the wall for a chance to prove I don't know the lyrics, man, but I love that song. Stephanie Mills. But we should be singing praises to the Most High, glorifying his name, and watch the response that you get. Watch the Most High's influence on your life. See it in little things. It's a good thing the Most High don't present himself like he did our ancient fathers, probably scare us out of our skin. So he communicates in ways we can know that it's him. You still there, Amar?